we'll get on that here in just a little bit. So if any of you are so inclined, this should be a no-brainer, but I'll just mention this real quick just for a second here. If you feel like you'd like to get an AK, even for investment purposes, now, I have to offer that with a disclaimer that it is illegal for you to buy a gun at one price with the intention of selling it and making a profit on it. But if you buy it and keep it and here in about 30 days decide that you don't want it anymore and you go to sell it and to your surprise they've gone up $350, that's not your fault. So you can do that. It's not a problem. Anyway. All right. Well, the reason what brought the topic up of the 308, I mean the 338, is I had a couple people asking, you know, what do you do? What do you think about a 50? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, there's definitely a place for them. There's no question about it. There's a good place for the big heavy hitters. However, most of us, the majority of us, particularly if you don't belong to a group of some kind that is okay. All right, Natty, thank you. I'll tell him about that. I appreciate that very much. The problem with that, unless you are with a group that is planning to be very proactive, what exactly are you going to do with 50? You're going to spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to get or more to get a gun, brass, ammo, reloading stuff, whatever, any support gear that goes along with it, and you're going to feel great to go down to the beer joint and tell your friends that you got one. You're going to take them all out and you're going to charge them $5-6 a shot to pound off a few rounds. It's all going to be great fun, and you're going to clean it and put it back up in the closet. And are you sure that you're going to use it enough to justify that expense? It's heavy, it's expensive, and ammo's expensive. And if you plan on getting more ammo, you know, it's true enough, there'll be a little bit out there for the taking when the time comes. The 007 308s are an armed log. Hell's bells. You can get a decent used 308 for, you know, $250 to $300. You can get a damn fine new one for $500. And there's, there you can get as fancy as you want and go spend $3,000 on one if you want to. But hell, I've got two of them, or three of them in here that shoot under a half inch. And two of them are old 722s that have been rebarreled. One of them was rechambered, one of them was rebarreled. You know, they were $139 new. So you don't have to spend that much to get a decent 308, buddy. You really don't. That all that $3,000, $3,500, $5,000 sniper rifle crap is just that. It's crap. If you've got the money to do it and you want to do it, that's fine. But a half inch is a half inch. So what? If you can shoot a half inch with a $150 rifle, how much better does it make you feel to shoot a half inch with a $3,500 rifle? Put that money into ammo and support gear. Put it into another damn gun. Get two 308s and 2,000 or 3,000 rounds of ammo for the same price and put one of them away and keep one of them out to shoot and practice with. You do not have to spend that kind of money to get a good 308. Somebody's been blowing smoke up your dress, sir. You can look at several of the Savages, the Sega, not the Sega, the Howa, and actually the Sega too, as far as that goes. Of course, you're not going to get the accuracy out of the Sega, so forget that. But if you want to get a decent Howa 1500, you can get a damn nice 308 for between $500 and $700. Does it have to be heavy barreled? No, it doesn't. I've got, I had a, that 1308 that I've got used to be a 257 Roberts, and it would shoot a quarter of an inch, and that was a real slim sporter barrel. The barrel doesn't necessarily make it more accurate. It does take the heavy barrel longer to heat up. It also takes it longer to cool off. The harmonics of the heavy barrel, if you got your stock floated properly and everything, it is a little stiffer, and it has the potential of being more accurate, but there's no guarantee that it's going to be simply because it's heavy. So there's a lot of ways to go with that without spending a whole hell of a bunch of money. Anyway, Concretin', buddy, appreciate you dropping in here. And appreciate you buying me a couple of seconds there at the beginning. We had a meeting going on concerning all the many things that's going on in the world right now, not the least of which, most of you are aware now, that there was a 777 shot down. It wasn't didn't just have a wreck, wasn't hijacked, it was shot down over the in the Ukraine area over there. So there's a lot of scuttlebutt going on, a lot of chatter about that. So we'll see what happens. But Mr. Putin right now is not in a good mood. So you can take that information and do with it what you will. Anyway, back to the 308s, or back to the 338s, or back to the rifles we were talking about. You want to get the 416 Chi-Tac or any of that kind of stuff. That's if that don't make your stecker peck out, I don't know what will. That's a very cool tactical dream right there. But how practical is it for most of us? Probably not that much. It is so expensive that you can't. Most of us don't have the means to go out and practice with it. And it's mostly prestige. Do they shoot well? Oh yeah, they shoot like a dream. Neat gun. Is it practical for us? No, it's not. If you spend that much money, you spend $25,000 on one, how much ammo, guns, food, medical supplies, battery, and fuel can you buy for that $25,000? If you don't have all the rest of your gear together and everything ready to go and you go buy a Chi-Tac, then you have little man syndrome. There are way too many things that you need to be caught up with before you worry about spending $25,000 on a damn rifle. Now, if you had... let's say that things get as bad as some of us think that it might. Some of us believe that at some point we may be on foot. There may be a point when manufacturing slows down or stops. Shipping is not available. There may be a point when don't have the option of... Oh, you know what it is? I come off now, that cereal box, Dan. I didn't even notice it.
Poured cereal on my computer.
I did. You want me to clean it? I have to take a break. I got. I will take care of that. Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow.
No.
We'll see. Don't push your luck. I'm offering. So. Some of us believe that we may actually be on foot at some time. If we are, what happens to the 50 now? So what exactly is the 50 going to do for us? That no, Hopper, not quite that far yet. But, hey, Roger, good to see you. Yeah, most of us are. There's a lot of stuff going on today all over. I can't even touch on all of it today. But what I was going to say, what would the 308 do that what would the 50 do that the 308 can't do? Of course, that's a dumb question. There's a lot of things, but let me rephrase that. What do you need to do What do you think you need to do with a 50 that you couldn't do with some AP rounds in a 308? Quite obviously, you can get way out there farther and hit trucks and materiel stuff farther out and do more damage a lot farther away. But most of us, unless you are in a group that's planning to be proactive, and some of us will, and I understand that. But what about the average guy? What are you going to do with the 50 that you can't do with your 308 or your 330? So that's how the 338 came. The question came about is we have a compromise, an option here, where we can do something that's a little easier to tote, a little cheaper, quite a bit heavier hitting than the 308, not nearly as much as the 50, but we've got something in the middle there that you might actually be able to find ammo for, carry. Now, that's another thing with the 416. What are you planning exactly to do when you run out of ammo? Well, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. Well, you better think about it on account of there's not going to be any out there. So the 50 is going to be easier to find than the 416. This fly is about to, if you hear a loud noise and the computer goes blank, that means I'm going to shoot this fly here in a minute. So the 308 is my personal, or the 338, I'm sorry, 338-06, actually. As I look at this from a long-term poop-hit-the-fan standpoint, that's going to include finding ammo. What kind of performance am I getting out of it? What do I need it to do? Will it do what I need done, or do I need a 50 or a 416 Chi-Tac, or do I just want one? And I don't want to have to tote the damn thing for sure. And I don't want to have to tote a box of ammo along with it and still carry either, you know, my AK or 308 or whatever else I need to carry. So, looking at this, got him. Don't worry about that little fella anymore. well, some of us, that's it, cowboy. That's exactly right. Like I said, there may be times when some of us are forced out of our areas, out of our homes. Some of us will be very, very bravado there and say, well, I'm going to stand here and defend it. Well, that's fine. I mean, you can stand there and die in your house as easy as you can die anywhere else. If you've got, 90,000 screaming Chinese coming over the hill towards your house and you have the opportunity to jump in your truck and haul ass and get away from them, will you? Or are you just going to stand there and commit suicide? Me, I think I'll try to stretch it out as long as I can, which also means that I may be forced to take the ammo that I can grab and carry with me at a moment's notice. Of course, I've always got a little bit stuck away in the truck and a couple of cans handy that I can grab on the way out. But what happens when that's out of there? I don't care how many tens of thousands of rounds I have in the garage and storage at friends' houses buried, you know, wherever you may have your ammo. What happens when you run out if you have to leave in a hurry? So I think it's prudent to choose calibers that you might have a chance of finding somewhere, or something easy to make, which takes me back to the 338.6. You can put some 165 grain armor piercing rounds in that 338.6, and I've got a pretty good little force to be reckoned with there. It's not a 50, but it'll damn sure smoke a 308 on all fronts. It also means that I can find 30-06 brass, 270 brass, 280 Remington brass, 25-06 brass, and turn it into 338-06. I can find a bunch of old surplus 30-06 somewhere, find some 30-06 brass in a coffee can in a barn somewhere, and I can turn it into 338-06. And the great thing about it is, with most bullet weights, I'm only 100 feet or so behind a 338 Win Mag. If I can get that less recoil, less expense, more compact ammo, and only lose 100 feet from the 338 Win Mag, then I'm going to think about that pretty seriously there. Minnie, what do you got going on there? I'll click on that here and I'll check that out here a little bit later. I don't know what that is, but we'll check it out for you anyway. So, we are way in the hell past our break here. So, I think we better do that because I feel like my blood pressure is going to go up here in a little bit. So, I probably better get me a drink of water and get me a blood pressure pill and have it sitting here handy somewhere so that I can take care of that here in a little bit. So, stand by.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
I didn't say that, Haji.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rank command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, the Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
What I wouldn't give to ride in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Cope Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, light in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
All right, we're back. And his aviator, you've got that exactly right. I've thought about that. And, you know, that movie, The Road, if you guys haven't seen that, I think that is a pretty accurate depiction of what we could face in the future without being out. If you talk to most of your liberal acquaintances and those out there on the street about that, then they're, oh, hell no, no way, not a chance in the world that we're ever going to see that. Well, I disagree. I think there's a good chance that we could see something similar to that. I don't think it will happen nearly that fast. I think it will take a little longer to get to that point, but I do very much believe it's going to get to that point. So, and if you recall in the movie, this guy was down to one round for his revolver. Now, I don't know, he spent most of his time trying desperately just to get away and didn't, matter of fact, he went to tremendous pains not to get involved with any of the people that he come in contact with, or you know, didn't make contact with them. Roger, you know, I think unfortunately, I hate to agree this readily with you, but I'll be flabbergasted if we're able to do what we're doing right now a year from now. And have you guys really thought about this? I know in passing we think about it, but have you really analyzed everything that how this is going to affect every facet of your life? You're not gonna say, I can't wait till Thursday night so we can talk about guns on the shooting bench. There is going to be no shooting bench. There's going to be no classic country Friday nights. You're not going to be listening to radio, watching movies, playing games, whatever. I mean, this Peanut Rider is exactly right. What's going on in the Ukraine right now, there's no telling what this might get into. You look at that along with our border problems, along with our economic problems, along with our social problems, along with our racial problems, along with the fact that most countries in the world hate us, along with the fact that Putin is very upset right now. And you add all this together, and I don't see how in the hell we're going to make it more than a few more months before something very significant breaks loose here. I know it, Peanut Rider, and I'm not sure that that's, let's see. Double R wants to know, can I educate him? Can you really neck up a 25-06 casing to fit a 330? Yeah, sure you can. Because a 25-06 ain't nothing but a 30-06 casing. So it'll probably take you two stages with a 30-06. You can do it in one procedure. But with the 25-06, you would probably need to do it in two, probably in two steps. You know, get it up a little bit, and then the next size up and do it again. But it's nothing but a 30-06 case, same as the 270. Either one of them could be necked up to, fire form it. There you go. That'd be the way to do it. Just stick it in the gun. If it's a loaded round, then fire it. And it, when you get done, it'll be a 338-06. All you'll need to do is trim it to length, and off you're to the races you go. That would be the same with a 270 or any of the rest of them. It's a pretty easy round to make. When you're making them out of 30-06s, you basically load them just like you do a normal 30-06s, because it's a one-step deal to neck it up to 338 caliber, and then you just load it as normal. And you will need that first time. You will definitely need to trim it. Well, I say definitely. You'll probably need to trim it. But 007. That's stupid. You're worrying about the rifling when you're fire forming. Really? Are you kidding me? How dumb is that? when you're shooting the right size bullet, the right size bullet is going to be going faster, and it's going to be rubbing the barrel all the way down. And when you shoot your 270 or your 25-06 in a 30-06 barrel or in your 338-06, the barrel, the bullet's going to touch there a couple of times on the way out, and then it's going to be gone. I've told y'all the story before. When I got my my 7mm TCU when I was in Wyoming, I fired, I don't remember how many it was, several hundred rounds of 223s through my 7mm TCU. Several hundred. I just sat out there and goofed around beside the riverbank and just blasted away all day long until I had a whole bunch of 7mm TCU brass. Went home and trimmed it, and I never had to form or buy another piece of brass for as long as I had that barrel. Fire forming your shell is not going to hurt your barrel. So, but yeah, that'd be the way to do it. But what all calibers did I say a while ago? 25-06, 30-06, 270, 280 Remington. I think that's it, all I can think of right offhand. But all of those can be formed up to the 338.6. The 338.6 is a tremendously efficient cartridge for what it is. It's an awesome cartridge. Like I said, it's only, let me look here. Let me grab this book and let's just check real quick. Let's look at a 225 grain bullet. Easily get 2,700 feet a second out of it. And let's go to the 338 Win Mag, the 225. The max, and this is out of the Hornady manual. The max that you'll get out of the same weight bullet is 2,800 feet a second. You're 100 feet a second faster with the exact same bullet. Now that's pushing it to the max. So, Cope. Jeez, I was reading one thing and looking at another. But his Aviator, the 338 Win Mag, it's a great round. I love it. But everything that we're talking about here, finding, forming brass, finding ammo for it and things like that. The other thing about the 338.6, in a pinch, at close range, any of those calibers that I just talked about, that I was talking about with double R, will all fire through that gun. No, they will not be accurate enough to hit a man more than maybe 25, possibly 50 yards away, but they'll fire. With the 338 Win Mag, you're going to be pretty hard pressed to find anything else that you can shoot in it. It's heavier, more expensive, believe it or not, more recoil for that little measly 100 feet extra that you get out of it. So my point, his Aviator, was why would I want to go with the 338 Win Mag? All I'm going to gain is 100 feet a second with the same weight bullet. So the let's see, 200 grains, I'm going to get 3,000 feet a second out of the Win Mag. And I'm going to get, there's a few of them here at 2,900. Most of them are maxed at 28. So we're looking at 200 feet with the lighter bullets. Let's go up to the 250s. Some of them are maxed at 2,500, others at 2,600. The 250s in the 338 Win Mag, we have one load of RL19, Reloader 19, one load that makes 2,700. The rest of them max out at 2,650 or 26. So there's just no advantage to me of the 338 Win Mag over the 338.6, considering that I can do so many other things with the 338.6. Now, there are several other 338s out there. There's the 330 Dakota and the Lapua and I don't know what all else there. The Weatherby and the Winchester, and well, the Winchester we've already talked about. The Weatherby Magnum. Now you're getting up into, you know, you're getting out of a completely different class of. I actually have a 338 Weatherby Magnum in the safe here. Do I need it? And I would not choose it over my 338-06. No. The Lapua Cowboy, we get back to, yeah, would I like to have one? Sure. If I had the luxury of saying, okay, I'm about out of ammo, you guys cover me, I got to go to the rear and grab another bandolier full of ammo, another ammo box full. No. No, no, what you're going to do is you're going to destroy your 338 Lapua so the enemy can't use it and go find something else because you're done. And that's my whole issue here with caliber. Not saying that the 338.6 is so much better than everything else out there. It is not. But it's close enough, and it's more versatile, and I can do so much. You know, like I said, I can shoot five other calibers in it at close range, and when I get done, I have brass that I can use. And if I'm in a position where everybody says, oh, I'm going to stock up on this reload and stuff and that reload and stuff, and I'm going to have, okay. Well, if you're going to do that, then you shouldn't have any trouble going back to your man cave and loading up some 338.6s. I will be able to use that longer and carry more ammo on me than I will the 338 Lapua or the WinMag. The 7mm, in contention in what way, 007? In contention for being an option for what we're talking about, or in contention as far as performance goes? The 7mm Magnum is very much... and it's really not a monster. Let's change gears. Let's back up here a little bit and talk about something else. There is not anything that the 7mm can do that a well-loaded 30-06 can't do just as well. Anything. If I had to give the 7mm a little bit of a nod on one thing, it would be that it might be just a tad flatter shooting, but it is so little as to be insignificant. When you look at the availability of ammo and all the things and the expense and all the stuff that goes along with that, the 30-06 is a clear no contest winner over the 7mm Magnum. The Winchester Magnum, not the Weatherby Magnum. The Weatherby Magnum will smoke the 30-06. Winchester Magnum is basically a ballistic twin. The biggest reason people like that so much better is because it's a Magnum, and it makes them feel like they're really carrying something, a real package around with them, either in their britches or in their gun rack, one or the other. And that word Magnum sells a lot of stuff. So... don't believe me? Let's back up here a little bit, and I will find... Let's just do a quick comparison here. Okay, here's 30-06 Springfield, 165, 168 grain bullets. Let's go over here and find the 7 Mike, and get a comparable-sized bullet here. 284 Winchester, 280 Remington, 7mm Express, same thing. 7mm, no, that's short mag. Remington Magnum, here we go. Okay, 154, 162 grain bullets. That's as close as we can get. So we're comparing 162s and 165s. Okay, we are looking at the hottest ones here. There's 6 of them that will make 3,000 feet a second. And with the 30-06, there's 4 of them that make 2,900 feet a second. So we're 100 feet a second slower, but we're also larger diameter and 3 grains more weight. If we pick, 154, 155, 3,000. Okay. If we go with the 154 grain bullet, we're looking at 3 of them in the 7mm Magnum that make a 3,000 feet a second, and 8 of them that make 2,900 feet a second. If we go with the 150 grain in the 30-06, we have 6 of them that make 3,000, and 8 of them that make 2,900. At that bullet weight, they are ballistic twins. If we go up to the 178, let's see. And the other thing about the 338 or the 30-06 is we can go all the way up to 220s, and there's a couple of specialty rounds out there that are 250 grains. With the 7mm Magnum, 175 is about the best you can do. There's a couple of specialty ones out there that'll get up to 190, but to my knowledge, that's as high as it gets. So if we take a 175 grain bullet compared to 178, with a 7mm, we have one that makes 2,900 feet a second. That's 175 grain, 175. And 6 of them at 2,700 feet. The 30-06 has 8 of them at 2,700 feet, and 3 of them at 26. So when you look at the cost versus the performance and availability, in my mind, the 30-06 is clearly a hands-down winner. I do have 007. I know I have at least one 40mm casing. I think that's all I've got. Roger says he's getting 2,700 feet out of 210 grain bullets in his 308. That's pretty horsey. There's nothing wrong with that. So people always talk about the 30-06 being so much better than the 308. It's not. At best, with most bullet weights, it's around 100 feet a second faster with, you know, factory loadings. If you're reloading, then you can kind of juggle it around to whatever you want it to be. But his Aviator, I've got some 10mm brass, but I wouldn't part with any of it for love nor money. That's one of my things I won't get rid of. The 30-06 is to the 308 what the 300 Win Mag is to the 30-06. They're basically, on the average, your 300 Win Mag is around 100 feet a second faster than the 30-06. Which is around 100 feet a second faster than the 308. There's just not that big a difference. Anything you can do with a 300 Win Mag, you can do with a 308. You just need to be a couple hundred yards closer and do the same thing. Hopper, that's probably right. If you have to wait 1/10,000th of a second more, and it's probably not that so much as there is an energy factor there. Of course, there's a little more energy when you get 100 feet a second is a measurable amount more energy. But you have to ask yourself, is the energy necessary? Yes, you can get it. But do you need the extra energy? When you look back at all the deer that's been killed with 30-30s, all the deer that's been killed with 45 Colts back in the day, 44 40s, and people think they have to have a 7mm Magnum to shoot a damn 95-pound whitetail. No, what you need to do is learn how to hunt, is what you need to learn how to do. A 223 will do literally 80% of anything a man needs to do with a rifle in the continental United States. Barring the bears I wouldn't hesitate to shoot an elk with a 223 as long as he was inside of 200 yards and I was all the conditions were in my favor. I wouldn't shoot at a running bull up a hill with a 223. But it's a matter of changing your technique and your procedures a little bit to get the results that you need. I have no idea how many deer with a 22. It's not, the 22 is not a deer gun. But, buddy, when you shoot them right under the ear or right between the eyes, it's a deer gun. And they drop in their tracks. They never know what hit them. They don't move. They don't kick. They don't do nothing. You take a crane and stand them up, and they'd be right in their same tracks. That makes it a deer gun. No, actually, it makes me a deer hunter. You don't have to have all of that stuff. And that, a nice, my contention here, going back to what we started with to start with, why could you not change your tactics a little bit and maybe even your end goal just a hair in order to be able to use a 338.6 or an armor piercing 308 to do what you thought you had to have that 416 Chi-Tac for? Now, don't anybody go and misquote me and say that the 308 is going to do anything the 50 will do. It will not. But but you might be able to, with good marksmanship and good prior planning, I think that you can do most of what you need to do with a 308. And if you want something a little heavier, my choice, because it's more versatile than all the other larger calibers, is the 338.6. There's not any other bigger caliber that you can do as much with different cartridges and everything, as the 338.6. There's also an 8mm.6, but it does not perform as well as the 338.6, and it is not nearly as versatile. You can shoot 8mm cases through it. So if you've got lots of other people in your group that are shooting Mausers, and there's lots of 8mm ammo in there, yeah, maybe an 8mm.6 is a consideration for you. But most of the overwhelming majority of your 8mm brass is going to be Berdan primed. It's going to be a little tough to get the reloading benefit out of it that you was hoping to get. Double R, there's another good point. I rest my case. Most of your deer have gone down within 20 yards with a bow. So why do we have to have these monster magnums to kill something 500 or 600 yards away? That only means to me that you don't know how to hunt. If I've killed them within, 20, 30, 50 yards, with a 22, my longest one was a 22 Magnum, and it was almost exactly 200 yards away. And I shot him practically right in the ear hole, right under the ear, and he never knew what hit him. Never had any idea. Well, we've gone past our break again, so let me find something here. Let's see, what is this? Let me check and see. Yeah, I don't know who said the 338 was a military cartridge. The 8mm is a military cartridge. I mean, the most of the surplus stuff out there. Anyway, all right, let me get back over here and find something to do here. All right, here we go. Stand by for a minute. I got to go get some ice here. Be right back.
Nobody dared to meet him in an open press debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt. On the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is?
Chi and I go get and beat you with the understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things gun. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Shotgun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measure Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shell.
Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, here we go. We're back. Let me check in the chat room here and see what's going on. What are you talking about, 007? You cope sure can pick them. What did I pick now? I know you can't see me picking my nose through that monitor, so got to be something else going on there. Let's see. Jason, yeah. Yeah, Jason is a good hand. There's no doubt about it. He's a lot of fun. And pretty knowledgeable guy on all of our stuff there. He does us a good job. Always has. All right. So there was, as long as we're on the 308 topic here, there is most definitely a significant increase in performance if we want to jump up to the Lapua. Compared to the 300 Win Mag. Now the Weatherby Magnum also is a pretty good jump up. The 330 Dakota is 200 grainer, 3000. The 330 Dakota is a little horsier than the Weatherby Magnum by about 100 feet. So we've got several different things, different steps up here. If you go with the Win Mag and look at a 200 grain bullet, you're looking at 3,000 feet a second, most of them max. On the average, it's 2,900. When you step up to the Winchester, we've got five of them that are make 3,000, five of them that are 2,900, and a couple that are 28. I mean Weatherby. I'm sorry, the Weatherby over the Winchester. So even if you look at the for all practical purposes, the Weatherby over the 338.6 is a couple of hundred feet. And yeah, 200 feet with a bullet that size, that's a significant increase in energy there. No question about it. But 100 feet, yeah, it's a little bit of an increase, but that little bit of an increase is not worth the trade-off to me of the other things that we talked about, the other virtues of the 338.6. Now, when we get up to the Ultramag, that's a kind of an abortionated damn thing there. I don't see the point in the Ultramag. It's with 200 grain bullets, we're looking at only one load in here that makes 3,200 feet a second. All the rest of them max out at 31. If we go to the Lapua, we have all of them except for three max out at 31, and we have one that goes, or two that go to 3,200, and one that goes to 3,250. So the Ultramag, to me, is a red-headed stepchild. It has no purpose in life. Now, if you want to go ahead and do, if you want to go ahead and step up into the big boy 338s, then let's go look at the 338-378. Oh, yes, ma'am. I think we'll, Yeah, with 200 grain bullets, we're looking at 3,300 feet a second. 250s, most of them are at 3,000. Yeah, we're getting into grown-up stuff now. Absolutely. So, let's play with the Taylor factor a little bit here, 007, since you asked. I guess what I'm going to have to do is quit calling you 007 since you refuse to change your name back to something I'm familiar with here. We're going to have to call you, what are we going to call you, 71V? That's going to be hard to get used to, man. Maybe we'll just call you V for Vendetta. I don't know. Let's see. 7V. Maybe that's we'll have to take a vote here and see what we're going to call you. Okay, well let's look at the Taylor factor just for the heck of it. Let's start let's get us a standard basis to go by, a control. And so I'm going to say most of us are very familiar with the 30-06. So let's start with that. Let's look at a 0.308 times 165 times 2900 divided by 7,000. Why is my stupid thing not working here? Oh, I know why it's not. I didn't push my number lock. All right, let's do that all over again. Okay, 0.308. Times 2900 times 165 divided by 7,000 equals, how come when I push enter it all went away? Wrong button. Damn it. We're going to be here all night getting the first damn thing done. 308 times 2900 times 165 divided by 7,000. Okay, there we go. All right, we're looking at 21.054. That's going to be our control to compare everything else to. So if we look now at the 308 Winchester, we'll use 150 grain bullet because that's a pretty, well, let's go ahead and use 168 because that's more of a most of your match grade stuff and all that's 165, 168, stuff like that. So let's look and see. We'll just go by the book. We're not going to see what we can pump it up to. We'll stick with the book so everybody can kind of follow along here if they want to. And the 308 service rifle, 168 grain bullets, their max is 2,600 feet. Okay? Times 20, whoops. Clear error times 2,600 divided by 7,000. I did something very, very wrong. 308 times 160, whoops, 168 times 2,600 divided by 7,000. Okay, we're looking, what? Surely you jest. Before I say what that is, we better try that again. So let's clear that out and try 0.308 times 168 times 2,600 divided by 7,000 equals, okay, that's better. 19.21 is what we're looking at. So that's pretty close. Behind 007, keep track for us there. 19.21. 19.22. It's actually 2192. So let's we'll call it 19.22. 338.6. The load that I was using 210 grain partitions, nozzler partitions. So let's do a 0.338 times 210 times 2,700 divided by 7,000 equals. All right, look at that jump. We're looking at 27.4. The 338.6 over the 30.6. Now you need to understand the numbers here. One or two numbers is a decent jump. When you get 5 units, now these don't represent anything except a relative number. It's not pounds, it's not anything special. It's just a relative number based on what Mr. Taylor thought it ought to be. But I found that it is very accurate compared to when you're looking at how hard a bullet hits. If you was to measure it with a ballistic pendulum, Taylor factor would really, really shine there. Let's see. So 27.4. Let's just jump up 100 feet with that. So what we'll do, we're basically comparing the 338.6 to the 338 Win Mag. We're going to use the same thing, except we're going to jump it up 100 feet. See what the difference is. So 0.338 times 210 times 2,800 instead of 27 divided by 7,000 equals 28.3. So we went from, we got less than one unit. 27.4. Well, yeah, we'll call it one unit because it's actually 28.392. So we'll call it 28.4. There's one unit difference between the 338.6 and the 338 Win Mag. So the argument for me for the Win Mag is not enough to justify the expense, weight, recoil, and availability of ammo in the future. That's what we've got there so far. So, and by the way, if you're looking at, now remember, this is not bullet performance. It has nothing to do with range or anything. This is at the muzzle, how hard, what kind of energy you're getting out of there. So you would get the same thing measuring it this way. You get the same thing with a hollow point as you do with the soft point, as you do with the full metal jacket, as you do with the armor piercing. Peanut Rider, yeah, the 338.6, pretty much standardized by the 338A square, they're virtually one and the same. And I think that the A square, I don't believe ever really. I don't know if it caught on as a, well, I can find out here. Let me just check real quick. I was going to say, I don't know if the 338A square ever actually became a Sammy round or not. But we can sure find out here, most Ricky Tick. That's a good question. Glad you brought that up. We'll figure it out here. Okay, 338A square. 338.6 A square was approved by Sammy as a standard caliber in 1998. And right now, if you're not a there, you can buy factory ammo for the 338.6, and it does say A square on it. It's Weatherby ammo, and that's the only one out there that makes factory ammo for the 338.6. But that was not a consideration for me because, yes, there's one company that makes it. Yes, they are usually available. Yes, they are kind of expensive. But it's like the 10 millimeter. If you want to realize what the 338.6 can do, you need to reload. And it's so easy to load for. So simple. So, the 338.6, it says it allows heavier 338 caliber bullets to be used in a 30.6 non-belted case. This is a better choice for the heavy-bodied game, such as moose, elk, and brown bear, than the 30.6. 338 caliber bullets becoming more widely available after the introduction in the late 50s of the 338 Winchester Magnum cartridge. Frequently chambered in the Model 70, 338.6 maintains much of the benefits of the 338 Magnum cartridge, but has substantially less recoil. Thank you for making my case. Makes more efficient use of powder and allows the use of widely available 30.6 commercial and military cases. It is similar in concept to the 333 OKH, which was Elmer Keith and a couple other guys. I forgot who the OH stands for, but the K was for Elmer Keith. As well as the 35 Whelan, which also used the 30.6 brass as the basis for the cartridge. That's another one. If you wanted to take the, if you wanted to neck something down, you take the 35 Whelan and neck it down to 338, and it would be the 338.6 again. So that makes six calibers that you can do that with if you want to neck down. Thanks to the large number of rifles based in the 30.6 family of cartridges, having a 338.6 made usually only requires a simple barrel change by a competent gunsmith. A-Square adopted the caliber as the 338.6 A-Square in approximately 1998 and was approved by Sammy as a standardized caliber. Weatherby offered factory rifles and ammunition, but has now dropped the rifles from its inventory. I wonder why they would do that. It's such a tremendously efficient cartridge. Says the 338.6 A-square has a slight advantage in velocity and uses bullets that retain velocity and wind resistance better than the bullets of the same weight of the 35 Whelan. So I got that all off of Wikipedia there, and it very much goes right along with what we were talking about. Says it's a versatile cartridge for hunting bigger game, loaded with lightweight bullets such as the 180 grain Nosler AccuBond. It's accurate for deer, adequate for deer and pronghorn at medium to long range. When loaded with the heavier 225s or even the 250s, it'll handle the largest game found in North America. So, the rifles changed in 338.6 are shorter and lighter than comparable Magnum chambered rifles. This makes it more desirable for mountain hunting where excessive weight is an issue. While the 338.6 performs well with a 24-inch, most Magnum barrels, such as the 240 Weatherby require 26 inch or longer to reach their full potential. So there you go, guys. That has made my case very efficiently right there. Roger in the 338.6, I use 4350 and 760 Winchester 760 to to get those velocities out of that. 4064, another great powder. It would work just fine. Either one would work just dandy for it. So, Peanut Rider, I'm glad you brought that up. That encouraged me to look that up on Wikipedia, and it very much agrees with everything that we've been talking about here tonight. So, shorter barrel, less recoil, just as efficient, more efficient as far as powder goes, almost as efficient in performance, in lots of advantages, lots of benefits there, I think, in the 338.6. And guys, you know, you'd look at the, let me add one more thing into that. Let's say that you decide you want to go get a 338 Win Mag. You want to go get let's just say a 338 Win Mag. Let's just keep it simple. When you go and find one, you're going to look around like hell for trying to find a decent used one. I mean, of course, some of you are richer than you need to be. You need to send me some of that money. But and you're looking at probably, well, what would you think? Probably $800 on the very low side, the very lowest side of finding a 338 Win Mag. New one. Used one, you can probably find one. You might probably find a used one for around six, maybe. I'm not sure. New ones, I'm sure you're looking at $800 to $1,200. If you want to make a 338.6, you just go and find a damn old used 270 somewhere, an old Remington 700 somewhere in a pawn shop for $225, and take it down to a gunsmith that you trust. And tell him you want a 338.6. He'll put a 338 barrel on it, ream it to 338.6, and you're done. So you're going to pay, depending on what type of barrel you choose to put on it and how good your gunsmith is versus how good he thinks he is, you're probably going to put somewhere between $300 and $600 into a $200 rifle and have a custom 338.6. There's just, in my mind, there's just no there's no discussion there. There's no argument to the other ones. Unless you want to jump way up to the Lapua or something like that, you're just not really getting enough performance out of it to justify any of these other calibers. So, with all that being said, I think what I'm going to do now, instead of playing same old stuff here, I think we're going to play a couple of songs, and then we'll come back here and finish this up. So, stay with me here a minute. Thank you.
amazing grace, tears rolled down Mother's face. Oh, glory, great like heaven's mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace will keep us safe from harm till they bring us forth back home. I hear bagpipes crying amazing grace, tears rolling down Mother's face. Oh, glory, drink like heaven's mercy over the fallen sun. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives. I pray God's grace will keep you safe from harm till we bring you boys back home. Till we bring you boys back home. Till we bring you.
Sky, fires that burn out of control.
All right. We're back. I think we're back. Let me check and see the sound. Yeah, we're back. Sorry about that. Kind of an extra long break. Sorry about that. But I have things to do, places to go, and people to see. Let's see. Casper Mountain. Yes, sir. The 308 actually does measure 308. 30 caliber and 7.62. You know, that's always been a little bit of a little thing that kind of sticks in my craw. The 30 caliber actually is not 7.62, but neither is the 7.62 by 39. Or the 7.62 by 54, or the 7.62 by 51 or 63, or any of the rest of them. So we could spend a whole show. We might even do that one of these days and spend a whole show on caliber designations and names and stuff. It's a very interesting topic, I think. It is to me. So... 007, what do you mean? Not to dwell on the past. When I was on in the morning, the days were brighter, summer nights cooler, and usually fun. That, well, yeah, maybe so. But anyway, somebody asked me a while ago how the yard sale went. It went fairly well. I'm expecting it to do better tomorrow and Saturday. Thursday's is not. Last Thursday was really good, but this Thursday, it was fair. And Peanut Rider, buddy, you have never said anything truer in your life. The times are getting darker. Wow, are they really? Roger hit the nail on the head a while ago and said he don't expect that we'll be able to be doing the same thing next year that we're doing right now at this time. I will be absolutely 100% completely, absolutely astonished if we're not fighting by this time next year, or trying to keep from fighting, you know, trying to stay hid and stay, you know, like the guy in the road did, which is fine. Now, some of us will do that. Some of us will be a little more proactive and get out and go and face the beast. But you know, whatever you do, that is your personal decision, and that's not neither for me or anybody else to judge. You have your own ideas and thoughts and whatever, and that's just the way it's going to have to roll. So, getting back into the calibers, Casper Mountain brought it up. You may have opened up a whole damn new can of worms there, but there are so many things, and it's a fascinating topic to me how a lot of these calibers came about. Getting their names. We may just spend some time on that, because it's very misunderstood how people or people will say, well, it's a 357, or it says 7.62. Well, what's the rest of it say? Well, I don't know, but it's a 7.62. Give me a box of 7mm. 7mm what? Just any old thing. Just get 7mm. Alrighty then. No returns on ammo. I hope you know what you're getting into. Wow, look at the price on these 9mm. 2 weeks later, they come back with 500 rounds of 9mm Makarov. Say, this won't fit my gun. Son, you said 9mm, and you picked it up off the table and carried it out of here. I figured you knew what you wanted. No returns on ammo. 007, no. Casper does not know Spike. Spike's a good guy. I know who you're talking about. But anyway. I see a little discussion here between BB Burner and Roger. Yeah, just as a general rule, there is no chance that you can use any rifle powder in any pistol and vice versa. But I say as a general rule, there are a few exceptions. The 22 Hornet is an exception. 22 Hornet uses or can use 296, which is a great magnum pistol powder, but way, way too fast for most of your rifles. But I have used Blue Dot in 223. But I wasn't loading it for a rifle. I was loading it for a 12-inch contender. And it worked exceedingly well. When you shoot a 223 out of a 12-inch barrel, or a 45-70 out of a 14-inch barrel, there is a tremendous amount of powder that gets burned up outside of the gun, which means that you've lost a whole lot of velocity. So I got the wise idea one day when I was messing with a 223 in that 12-inch barrel. Loud, good Lord. Wow. I mean, there just wasn't enough hearing protection to keep that. It would shake the windows in the house, and it was just unbelievable. I said, well, I'm going to take this damn thing back. And, Peanut Rider 296 is my absolute favorite, hands down, no question, in the 357 and the 44. I've never loaded any 41s. Don't ever plan to. But I have loaded many a damn 44 and 357 with 296. That is the powder. Of course, H110 is the same thing now, but it's exactly the same thing, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I decided, well, I'm going to experiment with this. I'm going to play a little bit, and I don't have my box here handy with me to tell you what I loaded. But I worked up a load for that 223 using Blue Dot. And it was exceedingly accurate. It worked very, very well in that 223. It was, but now I lost a lot of velocity with it. I lost it seems like I lost like 600 feet. But I was still shooting a 22 caliber bullet, a 55 grain bullet at 2600, something like that. That's still pretty good for a handgun when you consider that that's well over twice as fast as you would get out of a 10-inch Ruger Mark II with standard 22s. So I'm shooting a heavier bullet twice as fast. That's significant. But the thing about it was, is that at 100 yards, it would shoot 5/8 of an inch. And to do that with a 12-inch barrel, of course, it was a scoped barrel, of course. So that was awesome. The velocity was not, you know, my favorite load for the 223 rifle back when I used to have my Savage 112J. It was. And don't quote me and don't use this without checking it for yourself, but it seems to me that it was 21 grains of 41. Anyway, whatever it was, it cost me almost 300 feet a second to use the load that I was using. But that was the load that allowed me to shoot a three-shot group that measured 136/1000 of an inch in a match in California one time. And I told y'all that whole story how that came about before, so I won't get into it again, but it was remarkably, absolutely astonishingly accurate. So I didn't care if it took a millionth of a second longer to get to the target. It went through the same hole every time. You could just barely tell if you stuck one bullet in that 136,000 group. You stick one bullet in it, there was damn little daylight on the other side, beside the bullet there. It was a neat, and that was probably one of the things that helped cement my fondness for being consistent and accurate. And when I started shooting that one, it really, really changed my life, I think. All right. Well, Mini's a ray of sunshine there. Microsoft confirmed it's going to cut 18,000 jobs over the next year. I tell you what, there's going to be a whole bunch of damn people cutting jobs over the next year, whether they want to or not. So that's going to be a sight. Watch that. Let's go check something here before we sign off. I'm going to bring this page here up, and then we'll take this one. And let's see if anything's changed on this since we were last looked at it here. Okay, CAAK63D. Let's see, Centurion 39, 599, same thing. Let's see, just check and see what AK prices are here just for the heck of it. Let's see what has happened. Let me look here. Let's check and see how many Segas there is left here. Of course, it's only been 2 hours and it's after hours, so. But they are $699. Alright, let me look and see what they were for that same gun yesterday. Here is a Sega. Where'd they go? Standby. 5.45, 39, 223. I know there's some Sega 7.62 with 39s here somewhere. By golly, there's not either. Let's check. There's only one page of them. Yugos, TGI, Sega, 5.45 at 39, 223. Okay. Well, the two that were available yesterday are not available at all today. The one that is available today was not available yesterday, but they're selling these Segas now for $700. That's about $300 more than they're worth. $250, something like that. So, we'll see how all this plays out. It's going to be interesting. Now, there's something to think about here. If you guys, I know most of you are well informed and alert and paying attention to what's going on and everything. But I would keep close eye on your metal markets and this ammo. Not that you may want to necessarily buy any, but watch your what AK would I suggest, cowboy buddy? There's really no bad AK. None of them are going to meet your expectation for accuracy. You're a shooter, and I know it, but it, as far as a fighting gun, damn, that AK is hard to beat. The Romanian AKs are fine. There's nothing, not a thing in the world wrong with them. The Wasser 10s, just make sure you get one that has been converted over to a double-stack magazine. They come into the country as single stacks, most of them. They've held up well. All the videos that you've seen of mine on YouTube that concern AKs, those were Romanian. It was all the same one, and I still own it and still shoot it. The Hungarians, you want to stay away from those. They are very reliable. They're fine. They're as good as any of them. But the flash suppressor that they have, they are incredibly loud. Wow. And the fireball that comes out of that is a sight to behold. So I would stick with one of the other ones. Let me go over here and look. I'll tell you a good one here. Let me get back over on this other page so I can get you a good one. It comes with synthetic stock and everything already on it. The thing about the AK, the stock standard AKs come with cheesy little wooden stocks. They're way too short for a grown-up. And I don't like them a little bit. I do very much like the Command Arms collapsible stock on them. Has battery storage and has the little push button deals for sling attachments and stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And you put that and change the furniture on that gun, and it makes a whole new gun out of it. But one of the Wasser 10s are fine. Right now, they're only 5.5 and a half. So, but you mark my words, buddy. You mark my words. 24, 48 hours, they're going to go through the roof. The most of the Yugos, I think, as far as I know, have American barrels on them. Yugos are good guns. I don't like the ones with the grenade sights. It just adds that much more stuff up there that you don't need. And a lot of the Yugos that are available right now do have the grenade sights on them. There's another one that, let me find the number. It's a Command Arm, I mean, it's a Century gun. It's the GP1975. All GP1975s. No. All of them don't. All of them used to. I'm going to say they all used to have, okay, there they are. There it is. The GP1975 AK style rifle, synthetic stock. It's a little bit longer. It has a U.S. made receiver and barrel. Right now they're 5.5. You cannot possibly go wrong with that gun. It's nothing wrong. Matter of fact, I'm going to put the link in here for you. What I tell you, you can go wrong if you're entertaining notions of getting one. I wouldn't sit around and spend a whole hell of a lot of time trying to figure it out. They're 5.5 now. They're going to be 7 before long. Yeah, it is an Aviator. This is a Century gun, but it has U.S.-made receiver, U.S.-made barrel on it. I'll put this link in the chat room for you, and you guys can go check that out. And Cowboy, you know, I know that you know that I am not an AR fan, and I know that you are. But putting that completely aside, I will always say, and most everybody else will too, the AK is not ever going to be as accurate, but it will always be more reliable. And it don't matter what you do to it, what you put in it, what kind of conditions you use it, you know, how long between cleanings it taken it, whether or not you ever lubricate it. It just don't matter, man. They just keep working and keep working and keep working. And if you just want something, and as far as being accurate, it's not too tough at all. I can hit a man-sized target pretty much 100% of the time at 400 yards with it. Your gun, you can shoot, you know, 3 inches at 400 yards or whatever, 4 inches, somewhere in there. So, yeah, the AK will never do that. But it will keep running until you get tired of pulling the trigger, as long as you got somebody to hand you magazines. So I think they're worth investing in, just for that reason, just to have something to throw under the seat of the truck or just something to have with you in worst case. All right, we've managed to muddle through another 2 hours here of veritable plethora of information. So hopefully y'all got some good out of it, or at least a little bit of entertainment, if nothing else. Tomorrow night, don't forget Liberty Lounge. We'll be on here with some classic country music, quite a bit of it. We've had a little trouble here the last show, with sound issues. But so far, everything seems to be running real well. And the last few shows we've done have been great. So the sound problem may be resolved, although we have not gotten a hold of our internet provider yet, because it goes through a phone company. And they are the ones that get a hold of the internet outfit. And it's been a pain in the neck, to say the least. So let me go look at my chat room one quick time here and see if there's any questions or anything we have not resolved. Going once, going twice. If you got anything you want to bring up, do it now or forever hold your peace, or at least till Monday. And I hope you guys consider the things that are going on in the world right now. with this everything that we talked about earlier, the AK deal, the UN wanting to get involved in the border, whether they do or not. There's still a lot of crap going on down on the border. The shooting down, the intentional shooting down of the airliner, and these numerous other things that's going on. Hey, Mars, buddy. I didn't see you in the chat too much tonight. I saw your name there in the beginning, and then we kind of forgot about you. Sorry about that. But anyway, I'm glad y'all could make it in here. Okay, I've babbled enough. I got to go. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow night. Amy will not be in tomorrow morning, but I will be in tomorrow evening. And I will see you then. Bye-bye.
A gun will travel, reach the heart of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of...
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
Chess knight of silver is his badge of trust. There are campfire legends that the flames men spin of the man.